and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, Red Sox fans. How are you, Boston? Here comes the fire truck. That's right. You put the Yankees fire out last night. Good for you. I wish I cared about baseball.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, turn in your membership card to the American nation.
Excuse me, my friend. I have other things to sort of, you know, work through my weird, repressed sexual energy with.
Let me guess. Zarqawi, Osama, that's the stuff that concerns you, not the Red Sox Nation?
You know what concerns me is that there's not more about me in the world. You know, I mean, you know, I'm limited to my narcissistic boundaries. No, I'm very happy. It seems very exciting. I wish that I could appreciate it deeper, you know, but
it's not that much to appreciate.
No, are you kidding, man? Some people thrive. They live for this stuff, and I envy them. You know, I once worked with a guy named Frank Santarelli. He's actually now the bartender on The Sopranos. Doesn't have a big part there, but he's there. And he was my sidekick during an earlier show of mine, the last version of Short Attention Span Theater. And I just, like, he was complete sports fanatic. It didn't matter what it was, if there were sports, and my grandfather was like this. And I said to him, I said, you know, look, I don't really watch sports. And he just looked at me like completely baffled and earnestly said, then how do you feel alive? like he was like concerned for me. He was like, then what do you do to experience joy in life and anger and frustration?
How do you breathe?
I take it out on whatever woman I'm with. You know, like, no, it's not true. I take it out on the world. I take it out on the world, and I wish I had a bigger appreciation of sports. My grandfather used to sit and watch sports all day long. The guy sitting read magazines and watched sports laying down on the couch for as long as I can remember him being alive. He knew the rules to everything. My grandfather could watch, you know, he could watch baseball, but he could also watch curling with the same enthusiasm.
But could he watch cricket? That's the question.
Sure. He could watch anything. Anything where a puck or a ball or something flying was in motion and there were points to be had, my grandfather could get excited about it and know what was going to happen and what the rules were.
You know, the only thing that is important about sports, I think, to some degree, is the fact that everything ends up being a sports metaphor. Terry Bush has had, I mean, the debates, and he needs a knockout, everything becomes sports metaphor in this society.
I get so frustrated. You know, I mean, I think I've told the story about me in Little League here on the air before. Maybe I'll tell it again.
Go ahead, tell it again.
We'll do it later. We're going to cover the sports later. We're going to talk about it. You know. It's weird, though, because I have one of these personalities. I mean, people like to see me lose because I get so frustrated and I just can't believe that I'm losing, you know? And I get very, like, when in competitive sports, I really don't like being on the losing team. I guess nobody does. But there's part of me that, like, you know, when we start to lose, where I actually feel like going, dude, why don't we just cut it now? Let's just quit now while we're ahead. We can quit in the fourth inning. And, you know, so what? What are they going to do? So we'll leave, but we will have won that many points.
But see, that's the problem.
Okay.
What you should have done was cheat. Either cheat or wait till the middle of, like, if it's a basketball game or something, go up to the one guy that you can get away with this with and just bounce the ball off the back of his head and walk off the court. That's how you play sports in America, pal.
That's how the Republicans work. No, theoretically, what I should have done and what I wish I had in me and what I sometimes have in me more now when I think about it is like, I don't care, man. We may be down, but we're coming back. We're going to get out there and play the best game we ever played, and we're going to win. And that's how I feel about this election. That's how I feel about being on the air here, and that's how I take out my competitive. Like I always say, like, you know, I'm a fairly athletic person, but I don't like games, like, you know, like sports. But if you want to go with mind games, let's go. Let's do it. I don't want to take Riley on because I know secretly you hide a very devious mind game playing expertise in there.
Who, moi?
I know.
That was years ago. I don't do that anymore.
You're the guy yesterday who said, I would have been a political consultant, but I decided not to. And I'm like, wow, man. And I'm like, Riley's got the angles, you know?
No, man. Look, there is a... See, I enjoy sports for the performances out of individuals.
Yeah, me too.
That kind of stuff, I mean, if you watch, there's certain sports you watch, you see these guys do things. That's why I follow the soccer team I do. Arsenal. For those of you who are listening in England, that's Arsenal. They tied yesterday. But be that as it may, you watch these guys play the game, and you realize that they just take this to another level. Thierry Henry, the star for this team, scored a goal with the guy climbing up his back, for God's sake. He flips the ball back between the guy's legs and into the goal.
That's
the kind of stuff that's just like, whoa, how did he manage to do that?
But you got
to
pick a team. You see, if you're just one of these people that just likes the accomplishments of a particular athlete for the athletic accomplishments in and of itself, if you're hanging out with people that have picked a team, they're going to hate you. Because, like, no matter...
I don't care if they hate me.
No, but you have a team. You have Arsenal.
I have Arsenal because I saw them play twice, and I love the way they play, and I love their fans. You know why I love their fans? Because in L.A., if the Dodgers are losing in the sixth inning, the fans leave. They go home.
Yeah.
I went to a match where Arsenal was down 3-1 in the second half of this football, soccer match,
yeah.
Right? And there was a guy behind me, he was drunk as a skunk, but he wouldn't stop. Come on, Arsenal! They scored two goals and it ended up a tie.
Yeah, it's almost like
because
a religious belief.
Yeah, they never give up. They never believe that even when the whistle sounds and the game's over, they never believe that this team is out of it, and they have not lost in 50 matches.
Right, and that's the same as like Bush's followers. That's one of the reasons, that's one of the things we had to adjust to as liberals and Democrats, is that, you know, we had to get rid of our certain sense of gloom and doom and sort of, you know, defeatist attitude, you know, to sort of like mobilize ourselves. Because you listen to Republicans, you just reminded me something though. I know where my joy for sports died with my grandfather. I remember the moment.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about, I'm going to get to all of them really quick here, is that I'm one of those people, like you, I appreciate athletic accomplishment when I'm watching it. I don't have the attention span or the sense of loyalty to commit to a team or to watch a game all the way through, but I will get excited if someone hits it, which is sort of like, you know, if you're with the people who believe in a team, and if the other team that they don't like makes a good hit, I'm like, yay! They're like, what the hell's wrong with you? But the guy did good. That guy, yeah, but he's not our team. See, so that doesn't work. You can only enjoy it at home alone. The other thing, the moment my sports love died or didn't happen was I remember my grandfather took me to a Mets game when I was a little kid. I just remembered this. And I was not a sports kid, you know, and my grandfather, if he had his brothers, he would have made me a sports kid. But my father, you know, had other plans. He was busy, you know, operating on people and having sex and whatever. But the deal was, he wasn't there to get me into sports. So my grandfather takes me to a game. And we leave because it looks like the Mets were done. You know what I mean? They were down like 4 points, and we're in the car driving back. What is it? Four runs.
Comeback, ladies
exactly.
And yeah.
We're in the car, and he turns on. It's like, and it's like, oh my God, it's all turned around. 5 runs. And my grandfather's like, oh, I can't believe we left. I'm sorry. And then little did I know, I should have said, that's okay. I'm never going to believe in sports ever. But that, you know, but I think that might have been the moment.
It could have been worse, though.
But the fanatical, well, yeah, I guess it could have been worse.
It could have been worse because you could have been in the parking lot and actually heard the crowd cheering. And then you know something's going on, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
All right? You hear the, and all of a sudden, you say, man, I'm leaving and all this is going on inside. I've had that happen once or twice, but it hasn't been my love for sports.
Yeah, but I have that happen, you know, going towards things.
But
I
wait a minute, wait. You said something just now.
About
that,
the Americans?
No.
What?
You said your dad was operating on people and having sex. You thought I missed that part. what the hell was that?
No. He was a doctor, you know.
And he had sex, obviously, because you're here.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows what my dad was out in the world doing. All I'm saying is that when you're a kid, you know, when you're the son of a doctor and your dad's not home, mm-hmm. you know, you get it in your head that, he's out saving lives. There's no reason for him to be home. But as history has proven, I'm not sure what he was out there doing. But anyways, I love my dad and this is his worst nightmare, is me having a platform to speak to the nation. He's a good man with a lot of broken dreams and some strange thoughts. But, you know, what are you going to do?
That describes George. No, George W. Bush isn't a good man.
I'm so
with
glad
broken
I'm
dreams.
To, I'm so glad I'm going to therapy today, Riley.
Oh.
I just need to open up some weird thing. You know, I got to, yeah. So I got this thing, like, I am so sick of these people who, I watched Bush on TV yesterday try to spin this sort of announcement of Zarqawi's and, you know, aligning with Osama bin Laden.
Oh, that was as lame as it gets. But I'll tell you what he does. I'll tell you what he does that's very smart. He has, if you ever look at the color schemes at his events,
yeah.
His color schemes sort of match wherever, you know, he had this victory in the Heartland thing, and what were the colors? Yellow and green. The same colors as a John Deere tractor.
Yeah, but okay, that's a very interesting observation.
He uses things that are beyond some, the idea that he's buying time now around traffic reports in key battlegrounds.
And he's saying that he's giving important policy speeches when he's not.
But
who are these people that go to these things? Who goes to an event and waves sandals? Who goes? What kind of adult sits in an audience with the president speaking? And the reasonable response to have that he is encouraging them to have is boo, yay. He's talking about the end of the world. Oh, Kerry's not going to stop the end of the world. Flip, flop, flip. They're infantilizing global politics. These people that follow him are some sort of strange cult of retarded men children and their wives who are too stupid to realize that they're being bamboozled. Riley, that's right. I said it.
If you say so.
They're children. They should all be wearing diapers. I hate them. 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Planet Jack. Props to Hotel Triton for the Green Lodging Certification Award. General Manager Michael Pace explains.
Not only was the Hotel Triton the first hotel to be nominated in the state, but we were actually used as a model for all hotels in the state of California.
This is a state program to encourage hotels to become greener.
It doesn't cost more to become eco-friendly. You actually save in the long run.
The Triton saves on garbage fees by recycling 60 to 70% of their waste. Pace says it's easy being green.
PG&E helped us retrofit the whole hotel here in San Francisco. We spent $12,000 changing all our bulbs out and got $11,000 back in rebates. So clearly there is the support out there.
Stay a while online at
www.hoteltriton.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
The best-selling rock music Uber author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays, 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net, or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Age is killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpack. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them the backpack. Now you try the backpack. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Yes, 22 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. I'm way too awake.
Hi!
For 22 past the hour. Nice to see you, Mark Riley.
Good to see you, man.
Quick answer to a question for somebody driving to work in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Highland High School is where I graduated from. Anyways, where did that come from? It came from something that just popped into my head just now from an email that was someone that wrote me.
You know, I noticed that your shirt and your hat are color coordinated.
I'm a maroon guy.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Maroon today. Not Marin. Maroon.
Maroon.
Dude, I'm all working. Like, okay, hold on a minute. You're leaving the house. You're going to see the president talk. All right? You're a couple. You and your husband are going to go see President Bush speak. Wait, honey, I forgot the flip-flops. I got to get the two pairs of flip-flops because we're going to see the president speak. What kind of world is this? All right. Anyways, Bin Laden.
Yeah.
The idea that our president can even bring his name into conversation, because let's make sure. What about Osama bin Laden, President Bush?
I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him.
Really?
And, I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure.
But he killed 3,000 people.
Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Not important to you, huh?
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about
him. You're not concerned about Osama bin Laden. Now, it turns out that, you're going to have to refresh me on this or hit me to what's going on in this story, because sometimes I read stories, and all I can see in this story is that Osama bin Laden might be traveling. Not only is he not in a cave, but he's out doing business in the world.
It looks like that is what at least one British journalist is alleging. This guy's name is Gordon Thomas. He wrote an article on October 13th, which is now over a week ago, in a Spanish magazine, and he is saying that bin Laden has been in China under the protection of the Chinese government under an agreement where he is actually quelling violence in Muslim-held provinces inside China.
So they're bringing Osama bin Laden in to actually settle Muslims down in provinces in China?
In China. Now, the government of China has been fighting these Muslims in these Chinese provinces for a number of years. Apparently, without a great deal of success, there are at least 5 million Muslims at issue here in these various provinces, which isn't a huge number given that there are 1.5 billion people living in China, but apparently they caused the Chinese government no end of headaches.
I'm still not wrapping my brain around the idea that bin Laden, okay, who are we going to call to settle things down? Who are we going to call to be diplomatic in this situation, to negotiate with this Muslim population? Let's call Osama. And they sent a plane to get him. I just can't believe the guy's out doing business. And, you know, and George Bush is saying that, you know, it doesn't matter. And he chooses to politicize it yesterday. Apparently, in Pakistan, too. Pakistan sort of supports this by saying,
The Pakistanis say there is, you know, there's no sign of bin Laden on their side of the border with Afghanistan. But we should say that Beijing, the Chinese government, has officially denied this story and says essentially that Gordon Thomas is being irresponsible.
Thomas, the writer?
The writer.
Okay.
The British writer. He wrote this in El Mundo, I believe is the name of the, El Mundo, excuse me, Spanish newspaper.
Yeah.
The Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson denied that bin Laden was hiding in China, according to UPI. And that spokesperson said, I do not know what he has based the story upon, but it is irresponsible. I can say in clear terms that Bin Laden is not in China. Now, mind you, if Gordon Thomas was a Chinese journalist and they said his reporting is irresponsible, he'd either be behind bars or he'd be dead by
it. Yeah, it's like, we really like your story. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. So, long story short, the Pakistanis, who, by the way, have been under some continuing pressure from the United States government, although, you know, a lot of folks don't want to admit this,
yeah.
but they've been under some pressure from the United States government
yeah.
to, in fact, produce Osama bin Laden sometime before the election. But they say he's not in our watch. He's not in our purview.
Yeah, yeah.
So where is he?
Yeah.
He's not in China. He's not in Pakistan. He's not in Afghanistan, which Karzai supposedly controls. So if our guy controls Afghanistan and bin Laden's in Afghanistan, what's stopping everybody?
Well, yeah, well, Musharraf, clearly. I mean, what's he going to say? Because he's got people within his own intelligence community, within his own military, probably within his own cabinet, that are like, really? Look, you're going to turn bin Laden over? That was a warning.
Yeah. He's also apparently got a repository of support inside China. I don't know that the Chinese have ever denied that part.
It says 5 million. 5 million bin Laden fans. But you got to figure if there's 1.5 billion people, everybody's got a fan base there. If there's two
yeah.
Chinese people like, my baron! My baron!
That's right. That's right. It's bad. Well, never mind. We won't even get into Arsenal because they have a fan base.
I'm sure they do. Everyone has a fan base. There's some guy with a Kalo t-shirt there.
Yeah.
There's someone in China it says Clutch Larson on the back. It's got Jonathan's picture on it. Yeah, actually, P.W. McDonald has got three people in China that think he's a genius. And, of course, Dan Pashman. Some people actually download his mixes, and they wear Dan Pashman hats with his picture on it.
Look, this all of this is going on against the backdrop of George W. Bush obviously trying to ratchet up his terror, anti-terror credentials on the eve, you know, as the election gets closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that on the other side of our break.
Well, we got to hear what he said. We got in Zarqawi, this is a guy that Bush had three opportunities to kill and didn't. Now Zarqawi has announced the Zarqawi bin Laden ticket, and now Bush is trying to make that sound like Kerry doesn't have a handle on this.
Well, maybe Zarqawi goes back and forth to China to bring bin Laden the news. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, we are in a situation right now where in the heat of a political season, George W. Bush will literally say anything to hold on to the presidency.
I hope he's not willing to do anything. That's what gives me the creeps.
That is a creepy potential thought. When we come back, the president's Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, and much, much more here on Air America Radio.
Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir. I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Best-selling rock music Uber author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays, 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
I'm Bobby Lycus with today's Car Clinic Minute. Back to school and bored with reading, writing, arithmetic? Don't despair. I'll give you four exciting lessons torn from the pages of my favorite book, Cars and Why I Love Them, when we come back. In today's world of discord and disappointment, One thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Want to have some fun at school today? Then rev up to give your teacher a lesson in car history, literature, social science, and math. History. In World War I, the Allies commandeered taxis in Paris for rushing troops to front lines, halting Germans at the Marne. Literature. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby had 2 stars, Jay Gatsby and his cream-colored Rolls Royce. Social science. The first driver's license was issued in Denver in 1906 and cost only $1. Math. It all adds up. Cars are great. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here about 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, how long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off?
I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
You should tell somebody.
We didn't even know.
You guys weren't using this for you.
Not us.
Nope.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go? Where are you?
For no apparent reason, we're having a good time. It's 34 past the hour. It's morning's edition on Air America Radio. That's Mark Riley.
Where?
Right there. You're sitting in him.
Sorry.
I'm Mark.
Hey, get off of my lap.
Yeah. Woo! You're... Thank God Ramon came by with a bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
Who would have known? He must know something we don't know, but apparently Brendan McDonald recently, within the last week, I think, has outgrown his peanut allergy, and he's ecstatic. We're going to have to interview him later. But Ramon came by with a bag of peanuts that Brendan is now pouring on himself.
He's now P.E., not P.W.
And by the way, I misspoke. I just got an email from China. There's a cult of Pashman. It's not just 3 followers with baseball hats. There is actually a Pashman cult. They call themselves the followers of the son of Lewis and Linda. And
Yahtzee!
And no one is allowed to question the Yahtzee or the Pashman oracle. There's somebody speaking for Pashman there. And
they're playing Pet Sounds in Beijing as we speak.
That's all they play. It's Pet Sounds over and over and over again. And then when people get so sad they can't live with themselves, they throw on a Bruce Springsteen song. It's the weirdest cult in the world. Here's a presidential palm pilot for today. Good morning. This is the president's schedule. 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. John Kerry doesn't understand the war on terror. He's never had a catastrophe happen on his watch like some people. 9:05 a.m. Sign Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act, Roosevelt Room, White House. Note, ask Rove if signing this suicide prevention bill makes me look soft on terror. 9:45 a.m. Sign second part of Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act. Note, try to lighten mood with this joke. How did the Polack try to commit suicide? By jumping out of the basement.
Oh,
wait for laugh. 1:45 p.m. Speak at rally on medical liability reform, United Sports Training Center, downtown Pennsylvania. Note, tell them, I've choked on bar pretzels hundreds of times, but you don't see me suing Mr. Salty. Note, if I lose the election, sue Mr. Salty. 4:25 p.m. Speak at rally, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Note, tell them, Al-Qaeda is like an M&M. They have a hard candy shell but are soft inside. Soft inside. Soft inside. 6:35 p.m. Back in Washington, call Chinese embassy. Make deal. In exchange for Bin Laden, we'll let the Chinese illegally copy all of American pop culture. That'll show those Hollywood liberals. 8 p.m. In response to overwhelming opposition from young voters, proposed bill outlawing the word draft. Phrases that would be banned. I feel a draft. I'll have a draft beer. I've written a first draft. This vote has a shallow draft. 10 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Even if I lose, I could still live off Laura. Teachers make a couple of hundred grand a year, don't they? Powerful, man. That's the commander-in-chief who, last night, tried in a vain effort. I couldn't even understand it the first time I heard him say this, Riley, on the news. I couldn't even understand what he was trying to do, so maybe we can parse this thing. Is that how you say it?
You can parse it, but you can't figure it out. I mean, it's like he is saying that John Kerry doesn't understand the war on terror because Zarqawi has reportedly now made some kind of alliance or pledged some kind of fealty to Al-Qaeda. So now Bush figures that's license for him to go out and say, well, see, I told you all along, Zarqawi and Al-Qaeda were linked.
Well, let's hear what the AWOL blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult has to say.
Does he think if we weren't in Iraq that Mr. Zarqawi would become a peaceful citizen of the world?
What's wrong with those people?
He hates what we stand for. He intends to inflict harm. It is best we defeat Zarqawi in Iraq so we do not have to face him here at all.
Yay!
You know, with a couple of turns of phrases...
Hold on, let me get my sandals.
Yeah, a Muslim guy could be, Al-Sadr could be running that same speech in Iraq.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, the baffling thing to me is that, you know, the one thing that Kerry really punched home, and I think he can continue to punch home, and that will punch home, is what about Osama bin Laden? Where does this guy get off bringing his name up at all? First of all, he left Afghanistan too early. They should have killed bin Laden. They had him. They should have killed him. They should have killed Zarqawi. They had him. They should have killed him. In June 2002, U.S. intelligence reveals Zarqawi and members of Al-Qaeda have set up a weapons lab in northern Iraq, producing deadly ricin and cyanide. The Pentagon draws up an attack plan. The White House sits on it, and it's never approved. October 2002, U.S. intelligence shows Zarqawi planning to use ricin in terrorist attacks in Europe. The Pentagon draws up a second strike plan, and the White House again kills it. January 2003, police in London arrest six terror suspects and discover a ricin lab connected to the camp in Iraq. All right, the Pentagon draws up still another attack plan, and for the third time, the White House kills it. In March 2003, U.S. attacks Zarqawi camp after Iraq invasion, but it's too late. Zarqawi is gone. According to NBC's Jim... Oh, my God.
Mikulashevsky.
Quote, military officials insist their case for attacking Zarqawi's operation was airtight, but the administration feared destroying the terrorist camp in Iraq, this is before the war, because it could undercut its case for war against Saddam. See, there was no Saddam terrorist connection. Zarqawi was the only one they had, and that was tenuous, and that really took root after the war. Now, they should have killed Osama bin Laden, so where this guy gets off making these kind of statements is baffling to me.
Well, see, the one thing that people have to realize about this whole timeline is that at the time that Zarqawi was allegedly setting up this weapons lab in northern Iraq, Saddam really did not control northern Iraq.
Right.
Remember that there was a little thing called a no-fly zone. Saddam was really limited to the southern two-thirds of the country at the time, so there was no direct relationship between Zarqawi. In other words, Saddam didn't say, well, come on in and set up a lab up in the northern part of the country. We got plenty of room for you. That's not the way this went down. Saddam did not cannot control that region. That's precisely why Zarqawi went there in the first place.
But it's the audacity of this president saying that to his weird sandal cult, these retarded people that sit there and just laugh and, on cue and boo on cue without even assessing the facts. The facts are he's lying. This is complete manipulation. It doesn't even make sense. He's failing as a president. He failed to get bin Laden. He took us all into war based on a lie, and these people sit there like, yay, boo, flip, flop, flip. I mean, what is wrong with this country? I hope to God that this is not 50% of the people in this country and just some strange aberration, some strange group of completely narrow-minded, retarded monkey people that should be wearing diapers. They should all be sitting there in diapers just eating, like, while he's on, just maybe with a chicken drumstick or something, going flippy, floppy, flip. Oh, man. And somebody ought to take them all
Mark,
out.
Mark, you have to understand that there has been a system set up that reinforces people's support, not just for George W. Bush, but for conservative ideology generally. Talk radio, the medium we use, is one of the key components of that superstructure. Bush is simply using an existing structure, a structure that's existed now for at least a generation, and he's using it to his specific advantage. He's tapping into stuff that's already there. Why do you think that there is absolutely no dissent, with the exception of a few people that end up getting locked up for periods of time, why do you think that these people are hand-picked Bush supporters? They are part of a superstructure that Bush simply sits on top of and that won't go away even if he's beaten.
You know, it's a dummy cult, and I agree what you're saying, but it's an intellectual cowardice. It is the worst of this country to think that we, you know, given everything we could have done, have, you know, that there are people like this that still exist in the world that are delusional, religious fanatics, and completely unwilling to investigate anything for themselves and just, you know, rally behind false assumptions and bad ideas and complete stubborn belligerence behind a president that refuses to be contrite about anything and is completely wrong, it makes me ashamed of America that these people are able to exist and persist in this country and maybe define the political, you know, profile of this country for the next 4 years. It's a shame. It's a worldwide shame.
Of course it's a shame, but America is a place where people can actually feel free to be this stupid. The bottom line is, we got to do better. The people that know better have to do better and show these folks that the way they think and the way they process information is not in the best interest of the country.
Well, good. Well, absolutely. So we'll hear about from Kerry when we come back. I got an email from a listener who forwarded me one of these sort of, you know, lame, condescending, completely mentally challenged chain letters that are pro-Bush that go around and somehow or another, you know, tickle the sort of like weird reptilian brain, which is, you know, the one that seems to function. It's loosely connected to a couple pleasure centers that get sparked when somebody says something they can go, boo, to 43 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Check out all our favorite links, our latest blog entries, and our new line of merchandise at morningsedition.com.
Hi. Do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826, or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
This week on MotherJones.com, watch a video interview with Nixon official John Dean, the latest in a series of conservatives going on record with their true thoughts on the Bush administration. Also, find out why the Iraq War made us more susceptible to nuclear terrorist attacks. And read an interview with musician Steve Earle, who sings about seducing Condi Rice on his latest CD. Plus, our special package on U.S. soldiers protesting the Iraq War and daily coverage of the presidential campaign. Visit MotherJones.com today to find exclusive reports and the best of the independent web.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
Bang, 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 on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, 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 on the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, 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 on the door.
Schneider of the P52 Shimmies Only on Sirius every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds and fresh exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Hell yeah.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life.
W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the War on Terror. That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush, who knows what this is really about.
We've actually misnamed the War on Terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called war on terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think he can win it, but I think he can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
George W. Bush, unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
Condescending dummy.
I can't, you know, it's like that's, you know, if you're smart and you condescend, you know, at least you're smart. But there's nothing more annoying than someone, a stupid condescending person. And like the tone of this email I got, which I'm not going to go into right now, it's one of those emails where they throw all these facts about Clinton, you know, they somehow make a case against Bush. But it opens with, who to believe? Let me see. Have I got this straight? Condescending dummies. You know what the definition of stupid is? One, slow to learn or understand. Obtuse. Flip, flop, flip, boo, yay, look, I'm waving cheap sandals. Three, or two, tending to make poor decisions or careless mistakes. Three, marked by a lack of intelligence or care, foolish or careless. Four, dazed, stunned, or stupefied. Five, pointless, worthless. Dude. That is the definition of George W. Bush and everyone who follows him. Boo! That's right. I gotta get that on the soundboard, PW. Let's get a big, I want some sound of audiences of Republican dummies going, boo! Look at me! I should be in diapers! Uh-oh, poopies! Flip-flop, flip-flop! I can't stand them anymore, Riley.
They watch the Fox News Channel. They read their conservative local newspapers. They live their lives in this cocoon that says that when George W. Bush says he can keep them safe, it resounds for them. They feel this out of him. Now, people who know better, people who really start reading from a variety of sources. See, I don't say just, you know, read from a liberal source or read from this source. Read a bunch of different stuff. And you will come to the conclusion that this guy, and I'm talking about the president of the United States, hasn't got a clue. He doesn't know how this war on terror is going to play out. He obviously didn't know how the war on Iraq was going to be conducted after May 1st of last year. He had not one small bit of a clue and still doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know whether elections can come off in January.
Unbelievable.
That's not that far. It's 3 months. Do you seriously think this guy knows? He's got his defense secretary says, well, you know, only 80% of the country can vote. That's okay. Bush says, well, you know, if Shiite fundamentalists or Islamic fundamentalists end up running Iraq, that's okay. Democracy's democracy.
And what about Osama bin Laden?
I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. And
the president of the United States.
Command structure. And
got him teetering all over the place.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Let's flip that for a minute now, Mark.
Help me out, man.
Let's listen to John Kerry. Now, you know, many of you may have thought I was just blowing smoke a little while ago when I said that Saddam Hussein did not control the area of Iraq where Zarqawi was set up this terror factory and weapons lab, apparently. Mm-hmm. Well, here's John Kerry making it plain.
The administration claimed that Zarqawi's presence in Iraq was proof of an al-Qaeda-Saddam connection. That was wrong. In fact, Zarqawi was operating out of a no-man's land in northeastern Iraq, next to territory controlled by America's Kurdish allies, not by Saddam.
See, you know what he does is he speaks intelligently about things. And I was trying to listen to that as if I were a condescending dummy who doesn't understand, you know, how sentences that investigate things thoroughly work. And I, you know, if I were a condescending dummy who follows Bush or is too stupid to listen to things or believe that the world might be more complicated than the Monkey King lets it on to be, that I would have completely checked out about a third of the way through that sentence because it's like, wait, there was two parts of Iraq? Like, you know, and the weird thing is not only is he right, but a lot of people don't realize this, but Cy Hirsch reported that the Israeli intelligence units are now aligning themselves with Kurds because they think that the American war is a losing effort.
Yeah, and they do want to have some level of influence in the region, and they know that the Kurds are, for them, the most reliable allies. I don't know about for us, but that's a whole different story, a different discussion. What happens, I think, Mark, in a lot of cases, is people hear John Kerry say this, and they check out after the first 10 seconds. They say, well, he's saying that George Bush is wrong. Well, George Bush isn't wrong. I know. He's the president. He can't be wrong.
But they, but I don't even think they possess the ability to entertain ideas that are just mildly complex. That are just mildly complex. Like the idea that there's a northern part of Iraq that was not within Saddam Hussein's control at one time. It's too much geography. It's too much. There are too many things working there for them. It's like, wait, no, Saddam is the bad man who had the country. But there was a part of the country that was not in his control, and the Kurds occupy that part of the country. Saddam is the bad man. And that's it.
Well, later this morning, we're going to Planet Bush, where Lawton Small will do exactly the same thing.
He's a great example of a stupid person who is condescending, but funny.
Gee, you shouldn't talk about old Lawton that way. He may not come on with us now.
Are you kidding? He'll just say, Mark. I know Lawton. I know how it goes with that guy.
But
I
see,
understand.
This is what has created the great divide in this country.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, it's going to have to be resolved. I hope it's resolved during our lifetime.
We can't let the stupids win. See, the thing is like, you know how I was encouraging people to vote, even if they don't know the issues? It's like, you're talking about the entire Republican base. They are those people. They are going to vote, and they don't know the real issues. So in order to combat that, even if you just find Bush nauseating or disturbing, or he really makes you mad, but you're apathetic politically, just do me a favor. Go vote against him, because the people that know nothing are the ones that are going to vote for him and put him into office to shut this country down, to create a theocratic situation, to bankrupt the nation, and to completely dissolve our interaction with the world globally.
And by the way, Yankee fans, don't stay depressed so long that you don't come out on November 2nd. All right? I know this is going to be an agonizing time watching the Red Sox in the World Series, and the series, if it goes 7 games, will end 2 days before the election on Halloween, but go vote anyway. All right? Because they're up in the Bronx, and the Bronx is about the most democratic place in the universe, all right?
Yeah.
So listen, I'm speaking to you guys up in the Bronx, and you know who you are because I know you.
Right? He's talking directly to you.
Directly.
There's the facts from the Streisand compound. It's a liberal agenda. Write these down if you can't remember them. 1, tell Boston fans that the hard part is winning the peace. 2, tell Yankees they could have won if they had bothered to assemble a true international coalition. 3, condemn Osama bin Laden while praising China's new relaxed immigration policy. 4, condemn the Wall Street Journal for not endorsing Kerry and for not having a comics page. 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Theresa Heinz Kerry was wrong. Laura Bush has had a real job for 27 years. Monkey handler, man. Yeah. What's going to happen?
The unkindest
next?
Cut of all in the next hour of morning's edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Rapture Watch and economist James Galbraith talks about Social Security, all when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're 5. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises.
Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they fighting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. In awe.
This
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The United States, with the help of the Iraqi government forces, is getting ready to descend on Fallujah with a major military offensive. City outside of Baghdad has a populace of 300,000 people. American military intelligence says Fallujah is the place where scores of suicide bombers, foreign fighters, and other terrorist elements are holed up. Iraqi government ministers are ratcheting up the rhetoric in a bid to set the stage for the offensive. Iraq's National Security Advisor Qasim Daoud said yesterday, "We have to deal with Fallujah immediately." U.S. forces positioned around the city have intensified airstrikes and suspected terrorists inside Fallujah in recent weeks. Negotiations aimed at ending the military campaign in exchange for the terrorists have fallen apart. No timetable has been set for the impending offensive, but reports say it can begin within a matter of weeks. A New York Times report this morning indicates that an earlier plan to dismantle the Iraqi army and forego paying some 350,000 soldiers did more to damage relations between the U.S. military and Iraqi nationals. This is the Bush administration attempts to rebuild and train a new military force in Iraq. Speculation has it that a 2003 decree by the occupation authority in Iraq to abolish the army and not pay soldiers may be directly linked to the increase in the insurgency. On the campaign trail yesterday, John Kerry continues to hammer his opponent on the handling of the war in Iraq. Kerry charges that Bush's action in Iraq has made America weak.
The president's failures in Iraq, my friends, have made us, as Admiral Stansfield Turner just said, have made us weaker, not stronger, in the war on terrorism. That is the hard truth that America needs to consider in these next days.
John Kerry in Iowa yesterday on the campaign trail. Kerry continues to improve his image with voters on whether he shows good judgment in the crisis, but many Americans still think it's too risky to replace President Bush in times of terrorism. Pew Research Center did yet another poll on the issue. Both Bush and Kerry were tied at even 47%. This among likely voters, with third-party candidate Ralph Nader only getting 1%. Poll found that 7 in 10 felt replacing Bush with Kerry while the United States was still faced with terrorism would be a risk. It seems 4 in 10 of the respondents felt it was a major risk. Pew poll did not favor Kerry's prospects for the White House just under 2 weeks away. It seems voters by a 2-1 margin felt Bush would win a second term, but the poll concluded that voter approval of the president has slipped considerably, especially the last 30 days, which may have an impact. There's no question there's tremendous interest among Americans living abroad who wish to participate in this year's presidential contest. Government offices overseas have been inundated by requests for absentee ballots to be sent out. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, bang, bang on the door.
Chris Schneider of the Beef and Get Huge Shimmies only on Sirius. Every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds with Fred exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
This is Earth and Sky. Aspirin is used everywhere in the world, but it's anything but ordinary.
In fact, scientists nowadays say that aspirin might save lives. Research is revealing that aspirin might prevent strokes, heart attacks, Alzheimer's disease, migraines, and certain cancers.
Aspirin was first concocted in the lab by a German chemist in 1897. People were getting relief from the same stuff long before it became available in pill form. For thousands of years, people around the world have been chewing willow bark as a remedy for pain and fever. Willow bark contains a chemical that the body converts to salicylate, the active ingredient in aspirin. Willow bark's medicinal properties were recorded in Egypt in 1550 BC. Willow bark was prescribed by physicians in ancient Greece and medieval Europe.
But it's only in the past 2 decades that scientists have begun to learn how aspirin works. One of aspirin's effects is to suppress your body's production of certain hormones known as prostaglandins. These hormones help get important messages to your brain, such as "this hurts" or "turn on the fever." Aspirin cuts the phone line, so to speak. It blocks these messages before they get sent to your brain.
Special thanks today to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, a private foundation dedicated to advancing research and education in the chemical sciences. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, Yankee fans, and Red Sox fans, working class heroes, we are here to stop. We are here to stop the smug, belligerent, over, arrogant, oh my God. Oh, my God, the smug, belligerent, arrogant, stupid, fake Christian, AWOL, blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult. We are trying to stop him from leading his infantilized, should-be-diaper-wearing, sandal-waving adepts into the abyss. We don't want to be part of it here. We're hoping to God that 50-50 split in the polls is just not only bogus, but that these retarded chimp people do not have that much sway in this country. It cannot be true. You should be ashamed if these people win. You should stop them any way possible, not by hurting them, by stopping them with your vote. If you're not thinking about voting, you ought to be, just to stop it, the collective retardation of the country. The retardicans are going to, you don't understand, this is bad, it's very bad. If you don't like John Kerry, I don't care. Vote for Bush. Vote for Kerry, I mean. Don't vote for Bush. If you don't like John Kerry, vote for him anyways. If you like Ralph Nader, vote for John Kerry. If you don't want to vote, vote for John Kerry. Follow your instincts here. Look, Kerry's not perfect, but, you know, he's intelligent. He's made decisions based on a life of wisdom. I mean, come on, people. We'll start criticizing Kerry after he's won. You know, that's what we're going to do anyways. That's what liberals do. All right, Grady won. Now where do we start?
Yeah.
Hey, all right, that's fine.
Hey.
What? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm getting ready to criticize John Kerry.
I can't believe I had a slip where I said vote for Bush. It was a confusing thing because I said if you don't like Kerry, I want you to vote for Kerry anyways. It was the obvious way to go, and my brain is opposites, you know. But that's not how we think. Liberals are able to embrace the gray areas.
Stay optimistic. Stay on message.
Polls mean nothing. Don't let these monkey people are bad. You understand? They wave sandals.
And if you're in a swing state and you hear a traffic report with a Bush-Cheney commercial in it, listen to another station.
They go wait. I forgot the flip flops. We can't go hear the president if we don't have our flip flops to wave in. They're waving shoes. Okay, let's do this. Here's 10 reasons we're going to do this every day until the election. And there are new reasons, by the way. If you're just tuning in, this is not the same 10 reasons we read yesterday. We're going on 30 here. All right, these are 10 reasons that Bush must go. This is 40? Oh, man. Thank you, PW. All right, number one, on Iraq. He made the case for war based on incomplete, coerced, and ultimately erroneous intelligence about weapons of mass destruction.
Number two, on support for troops. He did not equip our armed forces in Iraq with adequate body armor or armored Humvees.
Number three, on foreign policy. He derided nation building in the 2000 debates, then engaged American troops in one of the most explicit instances of nation building in American history.
Number four, on terrorism. He failed to pay attention to an August 6, 2001 presidential daily briefing named Bin Laden Determined to Attack U.S.
Number five, on drugs. He allowed opium production to soar after the ouster of the Taliban.
On drugs?
Hey, man.
Hey, read the next one, dude.
Number six. On fiscal policy, he ran up a record-breaking foreign deficit proportions that threatens the stability of the global economy.
On the environment, he cut clean air standards for aging power plants.
Oh, he did?
He did. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Number eight. On education, he signed off on the fiscal year 2005 budget proposing the smallest increase in education in 9 years.
On science, what science, he says. He falsely claimed the restrictions on stem cell research would not hamper medical progress.
And number 10, on Osama bin Laden, he first said that bin Laden would be captured dead or alive. Then, when he couldn't be found, Bush told the American people, quote, I'm not that concerned with bin Laden. And, quote, I don't worry about him much.
Wow.
End quote.
Wow.
I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him.
We'll post these reasons on our website every day. Okay, they're going to be listed under the blog entry, under today's blog entry at morningsedition.com. You can go there. You can email us. You can email us with praise or hate, whatever you want, at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Man, I'm going to get into this thing that this chainmail thing, this Republican. I want to thank one of our bloggers for Retardican, by the way. I'm sure that I'm pissing off a lot of people with the retard word, but man, I am furious. I'm not trying to make light of anybody's mentally challengedness, but these people are retardicans. Now let's get to baseball, because I need an education. I went into the lounge just a minute ago to fill up my sad cup of lemon tea so I sound good for the peoples, and there was Pashman, son of Lewis and Lyndon Pashman, just getting the buzz again, watching footage from last night's game, getting all juiced up, just like, you know, it's like a, it's weird, it's Pavlovian almost, you know,
well,
it's like a drug.
Pashman was actually at the game.
I know, dude, Pashman, come on.
Game 7, Yankee Stadium, Yankees, Red Sox.
It's true.
Dan Yahtzee Springsteen Pashman. What's up, buddy? So you're at the game?
Yeah.
Explain
it
to me.
Very intense. Well, as you know, the Red Sox took a big lead early, which took a lot of the wind out of the sails of the fans. And after that, the crowd really broke down into two categories.
There was sadness in the stands?
Yeah.
You could see a tangible sadness, like the defeated kind
of... It was more shock than sadness. Red Sox fans weren't even that happy because they couldn't even believe it. Yankees fans weren't even that sad because they couldn't believe it. So there was that one half of Yankees and Red Sox fans who were just shocked.
Yeah.
Then there was the other group.
The other half who were all drunk.
Right, exactly. The other half who were so extremely drunk and just looking to fight with anyone they could fight.
For any reason.
Or if they couldn't find a person to fight with, perhaps an inanimate object to fight with.
Ah. So these were Yankee fans or just people?
Both. Red Sox fans, Yankees fans, looking to start fights.
Just looking for an excuse. So when they say, you know, if they say, like, the Red Sox won, I'm going to kick your ass, they really just mean, I'm unhappy at home and I was poorly parented.
Right.
No, Wayne Gilman actually picked a fight with the Subway. Get his way out of the yard.
You really got to pick your fights a little better.
Way. He went back to the yard and repairs after Wayne was done.
Yeah, right?
He said, stop, train.
I'm Wayne.
Gilman.
So, Wayne, you're a Bronx resident. Good morning.
No question. That's right. I tell you, I was really saddened about what happened last night. I watched it through the second inning, and I said, that's it. You know, I mean, either Torrey deliberately threw this game or he's incompetent by putting Kevin Brown on the mound.
Well, what happened with the train, Wayne?
I can't. Right.
So now, how long will the Bronx, like, be paralyzed because of this?
No, I heard of your appeal earlier on about getting the vote out. You know, I agree with you. I think this is just a done deal. This is an aberration. You know,
all of us
live in the Bronx. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is just a one-time event. You know, so Massachusetts and Texas, because I believe Houston will get in as far as the second.
Ooh, we got a prognosticator here.
Right,
I do have one idea. I think that if the depression lingers a little too long in the Bronx, Wayne, maybe we should reschedule the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Wait a minute. First of all, the Puerto Rican Day Parade's in Manhattan,
generally,
not in the Bronx.
But there's also one in the Bronx.
Yeah, there is a Bronx Puerto Rican Day Parade. But that's in June, man.
That's called Friday.
Yeah. See, now you've gone and done it. Don't get off the D train at 165.
That's all I'm telling you.
Get off at 155th Street.
Don't
go to the Bronx after you said something like that.
It's always a celebration. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, guys, if you don't mind, I just want to...
Kalo, on the mic.
Thank you.
Mr. Red Sox.
I don't believe that this is just a fluke by the Red Sox. I think the curse is over. All right.
The series is done, man. They got to win the series. Granted. You remember Bill Buckner?
I'm telling you, this is going to be...
for 5 years, the Red Sox are going to be in the World Championship.
Whoa! Wow.
What about your beloved Mets?
Kurt Schilling will be 50 by then.
They need a lot of help.
Is Pedro going to stay? Pedro's a free agent. Pedro Martinez, the Red Sox star pitcher. Kurt Schilling will be 39 years old next year. He's got a gimpy ankle. He may not even be able to pitch that well in the series.
We got the farm system. Look, I'm not saying that, you know, Pedro's going to be there for all these 5 years. What I'm saying is that the Red Sox are going to consistently defeat the Yankees.
Can I just say one thing?
Absurd.
Yes.
I feel like a woman. We'll be back in a second. It's 15 past the hour on Air America Radio.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and I get turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? Huh? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Best-selling rock music uber-author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics,
and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays, 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts?
If they're under 4 foot nine, they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Song today. 20 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Where?
It's, you're right there. You're sitting in yourself.
I'm sorry.
You are occupying your body.
Thank you.
It's an existential riddle. Are you in you? Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
But is it just my head? Is it my head? And the, I don't know.
Can you deconstruct
my brain?
Later,
let's ask Pinker. Clutch Larson's like, I have an answer. Pinker will explain that to you, that perception is conditional to survival, and survival means that you have to eat, and that's all that matters, so you can have more of you. And everything revolves around that, right? Kind of, right? Larson's like, I want to have to work with this dummy. You don't realize what I have to go through with this dummy every day. First, I have to let him make fun of me. And then after the show, he gets to yell at me. And I have to entertain the idea and make him feel smart every day. Man, what a task this is. My poor wife. I wish I didn't cry every day. I'm kidding, man.
Heartless, heartless.
What do you mean? That started off...
You're a heartless human being.
See how I work both sides, though? I make it all seem like, you know, I'm appreciating the fact that he has to, you know, deal with me. And I just take a little shot going out.
You've got an Arnold Schwarzenegger red eye Terminator in your chest.
No, come on.
I know this.
Or as Richard Pryor says, yeah, and take that with you. You know what I mean? Okay, here we go. Here's the dream diary for today. I am going to my therapist today, so this is important. I'm riding on a motorcycle 100 miles an hour on a windswept desert flat, all alone. I've got a spiky mohawk and face paint, fingerless gloves, and my body is covered with crude tattoos, metal studs, and a tattered leather jacket. The sun is cold and pale, and all around is miles of horizontal emptiness, except for the occasional burned-out Starbucks. I'm giggling and weeping uncontrollably. Faster, I think. Must go faster. Can't be late. In the distance, a lone figure appears, wearing a long coat of black crow feathers, a necklace of skulls, his face smeared with ash. It's Dick Cheney. You're late, he says to me as I take off my goggles. Traffic was murder, I say, and giggle uncontrollably, even though I know it isn't funny. Cheney says, I told you Kerry wasn't ready for the nukes, and now it happened. I giggle and weep and do a little dance. Since the apocalypse, I've been kind of high-strung. Cheney smacks me on the back of the head and says, Maron, stop that. Come with me. Everybody's waiting. And so we walk together for 3 weeks until we come to a valley where there's an enormous geodesic dome covered in skins. We go inside where 200 beautiful women from all over the world, all dressed in shredded furs, are lounging around. Cheney picks up a huge mallet and smacks a gong. He's here, Cheney announces and points to me. The women squeal and rush toward me like I was Elvis in 1956. What's going on, Dick? I ask as the women start picking at my clothes. You and I are the only males left. You have to repopulate America. Didn't you get my message? I say, all it says was, come soon, big surprise. Katie says, and you're surprised, right? I would do it myself, but, you know, bad ticker. Besides, I scare them. It's probably the skull necklace. I giggle and weep and do a jig and say, but, Dick, I'm a little messed up since the thing, you know, with the boom and the white light. I mean, what kind of father of my country would I make? Cheney says, just do your best. Hell, after Bush, anything's an improvement. Oh, and if a few of them won't procreate with you, they're probably lesbians like my daughter Mary. Don't take it personally. And then Cheney stepped aside, outside, flapped his crow feather coat, and flew off. I watched him fade into a black speck on the steel-gray sky. Then I turned back to the dome full of women, hungry to start a new nation. I become calm for the first time in months. The giggling and weeping stop. I rub my palms together and I said, okay, who wants to be the first lady? I woke up and my bed was filled with cobalt. So look at this, man. We, you know, coming off of the Eric Schlosser interview yesterday, we've got some interesting stories revolving around food.
Oh yeah.
First of all, you know, we've got what they call freegans. Do you know what freegans are?
Yeah, I do now.
These are guys and women, I'm assuming. These are, it's sort of a group of people in rebellion. And as an act of protest to I guess it would be the commodified culture,
yeah,
to agribusiness, to everything in the world that is, you know, the byproducts of capitalism, to food waste primarily. Yeah. They are now, you know, they go into dumpsters to get their food. They primarily, I assume, are, and from this article, they are primarily taking vegetables out of the dumpster. And Jim.
Yes.
Jim Earle is in studio.
He's
a resident vegan, but not a freegan. Now, do you understand? Obviously, I understand about food waste, and I think about it constantly. No, come on. What do you do? Would you eat out of a dumpster?
No, I wouldn't. But, you know, if the government, if we, our tax dollars went to fund an organized dumpster raid.
Yeah.
I would be all for that.
Well, I think what they're doing on a statement level is very provocative. I mean, I'll quote the guy. This guy, what's his name? His last name's Weissman. Adam Weissman. Okay, he says they're not homeless, they're not destitute. Basically, what they're doing is, quote, I'm saying we're too materialistic and it's ruining our lives. We're wasting enough food to literally feed every starving, hungry person on the planet, end quote. And I do think about that. As a matter of fact, I thought about it yesterday. I'm very conservative with my food. Like, if I have food in the refrigerator that, you know, I want to use all of it, I rarely throw food away. How do you like that? And clearly, I'm stopping these people from eating.
Well, first of all, I'm a vegetarian, not a vegan.
Right.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Why don't you take it easy, man? Why don't you settle down a little bit?
Hey, that's the meat talking. That's not you. That's not you, Mark, and I know that.
So wait, you're going to tell me you haven't experimented with veganism?
Well, I have.
Uh-huh. So what happened there?
I experimented with paganism. So what?
You experiment with veganism every time, you know, you eat something that's not meat or dairy related.
Now let me ask you a question that you
sure, go ahead. I'm here for you.
You know vegans, right? You have vegans?
I know a couple of vegans.
Do you argue with them?
No, I don't.
What is the primary difference between what you practice and your weird cult-like religion and the vegan?
Well, I sacrifice children.
I knew there was a difference. Wait, I got a question for you, man.
Yeah, all right.
If these freegans are as committed as they say they are, why don't they just grow their own food instead of going in dumpsters and eating the leftovers of the same corporate elite that they are arguing against?
Well, I think the truth of the matter is that I know this, and everyone knows this. If you go into a Midwestern supermarket and you see just the amount of food that is there, you know they're throwing away stuff the day it starts to turn. So on some level, as you were saying, that a lot of in New York, they used to have programs, and I imagine they still do.
Yes, they do.
Where they take that food, not the stuff that's bad, but the stuff that they don't sell, and they distribute it to soup kitchens and the homeless people. And now I think what they're doing is they're trying to draw attention to
that. They're pimping off the homeless. That's what they're doing.
Well, the homeless don't want to go through garbage either, but what they're saying is that, you know, if you take a melon that's just got a soft spot and you cut that soft spot off, you got perfectly good food. You know, it's just they're going to...
Assuming you've got a knife, Mark Maron.
All right, maybe you're right, but I understand what they're doing and what they're trying to raise awareness to, and I'd like to talk to these guys. Maybe 866-303-2270. If we have any freegans listening, I'd like to hear about your struggles, and I'd also like to know if there are freegan squatters, because I'm assuming, I sort of lump people together, you know?
Yeah. No freegan way.
Jim, are you okay?
I'm fine. I think
it's a
little misunderstanding.
All right, we'll hang on to that. Just hang out a minute.
Okay, I'm really PO.
All right, we'll talk about it in a minute.
But when we come back, we've got Iraq, Birth of a Nation, economist James Galbraith, and Rapture Watch, all here on Air America Radio.
Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Why is House Majority Leader Tom DeLay still in power? The former exterminator has gotten into more trouble than a kitchen full of roaches. He's now been slapped 3 times by the House Ethics Committee and faced an IRS complaint and a racketeering suit. But that's not all. According to Mother Jones, 3 sets of state and federal investigators may finally be closing in on DeLay. First, there's Texas, where DeLay fundraisers have been charged with felonies for possibly laundering money for a group he founded and helped run. Prosecutors haven't ruled out charging DeLay. Then there's Louisiana, where lobbyists flaunting their ties with DeLay bilked $32 million out of an 800-member Native American tribe. Grand jury subpoenas in the case are flying around like confetti. Even Imelda Marcos has gotten one. The Senate is also investigating the scandal, and DeLay, a.k.a. the Hammer, is facing yet another House ethics count. House Republicans are used to having lightning rods as leaders, but are they really crazy enough to stand by this man? It looks like only a felony charge will finally get them to nail the Hammer. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Bang, 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 on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, 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 on the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, 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 on the door.
From the B52 Shimmies only on Sirius every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds with Fred exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lajos with today's Car Clinic Minute. Doing things the old-fashioned way may be great for churning ice cream, but not for churning up the racetrack. When we come back, we'll crank up the power.
I'm Bobby Lajos with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Churning ice cream may be a treat, but steering the old-fashioned way on the racetrack is no fun in the sun. Before Jeffrey Bodine engineered power steering on race cars in 1987, all that horsepower had to be guided by sheer muscle power. And cars on the oval track weren't the only thing that suffered wear and tear. Just ask the drivers. In the Daytona 500, drivers race 4 hours in 120 degrees, losing up to 10 pounds of body weight. Power steering reduces driver fatigue and conserves the energy necessary to charge the finish line and enjoy a good old-fashioned victory lap. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, here we go. 34 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. I got a mouthful of M&Ms.
Hey!
and since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 115. Leaders of Iraq. I see where your foreign minister... Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not hear you respond? Okay, there you go. I see where your foreign minister is asking the United Nations for help with your elections.
You're a new democracy. I understand why you might think this was a good idea. But guys, trust me, you don't want those blue helmets anywhere near this place. I'll explain to you why. Because the UN will actually want to supervise the elections. They'll be all honest and want to do their jobs, and pretty soon you'll end up with a Green Party or representative democracy or something crazy like that. Remember Hans Blix? Yeah, they're all like him. Earnest, thorough, fact-based, silly accent. Oof. Even the UN had monitored our elections. If the UN had monitored our elections 4 years ago, well, put it this way. Hello, President Gore. And you and I wouldn't be talking right now, you understand? We'd be communicating over an amazing device that he invented called the Internet. And anyway, the UN is useless. If the headquarters weren't in New York, we would have gotten the hell out of there years ago. A bunch of snotty guys in expensive suits quibbling with each other. No thanks. What you need is action. One guy at the top, trusting his gut, giving orders and listening to no one. No, I don't mean Saddam. That's how things get done. I mean, do you think the UN could have accomplished half of what we've done here? If it were up to the UN, they'd be working on some kind of fancy exit strategy right now. Cowards. Uh-huh. Anyhow, good luck. God bless. This is day 115 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. There you go.
That felt good.
Yeah, didn't it? He went back a little bit. So on the phone right now, a regular guest, and I haven't talked to him in a while, and I'm glad I'm talking to him now because I need to learn something. Salon's economic correspondent, professor of economics at the University of Texas in Austin. James Galbraith is here. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you again. You got to explain something to me. Social Security, privatizing it. What does it mean? What is this trillions of dollars that Kerry is talking about, and how is it dangerous?
Well, it basically means more risk for elderly people. It means a reduction in the benefits that can be paid because you would be diverting the payroll tax revenues to these private accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It would mean very nice fees for fund managers and other financial types, and that's really the driving force. Social Security, which after all does compete with private insurance and competes with it very efficiently, has had a body of historic enemies on Wall Street and in that community. For the 70 years of its existence, and it's just now that those enemies really have a very powerful ally at the White House.
All right, well, let me just understand something. Now, Social Security, now, I've heard stuff about, you know, that money is being used for other things now anyways. They're able to play with that fund a bit. And also, if it's privatized, isn't it subject to the whims of the market?
Well, ever since early 1980s, we've been paying substantially more in payroll taxes that actually goes out in benefits. And the ostensible reason for that is to provide, essentially to build up obligations that can be used, drawn upon when people like me get old enough to be a drain on the system.
Hmm.
One can quibble about that. It's not it is the way the thing operates. It is certainly not the worst thing that we could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
James Galbraith, we heard a lot in 2000 from both George W. Bush and Al Gore about putting Social Security in a lockbox. What refresh our memory in terms of what that meant and whether Bush has broken that promise.
I never understood for a minute what it meant.
so I'm not alone.
The fundamental promise of Social Security is to provide a decent retirement income, a retirement income sufficient to keep the elderly population out of poverty. The issue, what we're being told now, is that we somehow can't afford to do that. It's a most preposterous statement, and one which is really being offered. I mean, and a lot of people believe it. I mean, Jim Lehrer made it the premise of his question on Social Security. Everybody knows, he said, that Social Security is running out of money. It simply isn't true. Social Security is part of the government of the United States. The government of the United States, by definition, does not run out of money. It can't run out of money, but it's in no danger of running out of money. All that these people are pointing to is the very, very long-established fact that someday down the road, it's likely, although it's not certain, that Social Security will draw on revenue sources other than the payroll tax. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't say the Pentagon is running out of money because it has to draw on the income tax. It's a totally preposterous statement to say that Social Security is running out of money.
So what? Now let me ask you a question about Bush and the economy, because what's he talking about when he says the economy is bouncing back? Because I don't see any indications. Is he just using numbers that are hokum, or using numbers that are going to be good no matter what?
Well, Bush and company had one good quarter, which was the third quarter of 2003, right after the Iraq War, and they got a growth rate that was up there at an annual rate of, above 7%. It's been considerably slower than that ever since, in the range of four, and now recently down to 3%. It might be up a little bit to 4 or so when the numbers come up at the end of this month. But the basic fact is that the economy is growing very slowly, not fast. It's not producing enough jobs to keep up with population growth, hasn't done so for the last 3 or 4 months, and is, I think, more likely to slow down than to speed up in the year ahead. So these guys really have produced a very, very sluggish economic situation, and it's likely to continue to be sluggish next year.
James Galbraith, given that sluggishness, why does George W. Bush continue to plod forward with this whole notion of tax cuts being a stimulus to the economy? It hasn't apparently worked over the last 3.5-4 years. Why does he keep pressing it as being the panacea?
Well, when Bush says that something he's doing is intended to help the economy, that's really basically a slogan. This administration has a very long-established policy, which is to lower taxes on the wealthy, on capital income, and to allow them to go up, basically through the mechanism of state sales taxes and local property taxes, on working Americans and the poor. And they're going to pursue that policy relentlessly through good economic times and bad. This was what they were for when the economy was booming in 1999 and 2000. He was running for president. He said, we have a big surplus. Let's cut taxes on the wealthy. When the economy went into a recession, they said, oh, gee, we need a stimulus. Let's cut taxes on the wealthy. When next year they will say, we need to keep the strong recovery going. Let's cut taxes on the wealthy. The consistent theme here is not the condition of the economy, and the program is not being adjusted to the condition of the economy. The conclusion you can draw from that is that they really don't care about the condition of the economy. They care about satisfying the clientele that supports them and finances them and keeps them in power. And that's exactly the situation with Social Security, incidentally. They're not interested in the financial situation of lower-income elderly people. They're interested in the constituency, the Charles Schwabs of the world and others who've been pushing them to enact a privatization scheme so that they can get their hands on the fees.
And they did this with health care, too, a few years ago, didn't they?
Absolutely. The so-called Medicare reform was a big giveaway to the pharmaceutical companies. There is a pattern here. hard to see. I think your audience is probably not mostly on Social Security, but young people need to recognize that Social Security not only protects them, it helps them today. Because most young people have living parents, and if Social Security were not there, their parents would still be there. And they would be in a position of having to support their parents much more than they do today with Social Security and Medicare picking up the medical bills. And you cannot imagine how cruel family life would become in this country if every brother and sister and out there in the working community were constantly having to squabble over who paid for what bill for elderly mom or elderly dad. That is something which we have been blessed to be relieved of for the last 70 years. Hmm. You get privatization of Social Security, and that's going to be dumped right back. That burden is going to be dumped right back onto young people who are struggling to put together their own families and to make ends meet under their own roofs.
Well, there's a pretty simple solution to that, isn't it, James? Just never stop working.
it's okay for a professor because I don't do any heavy lifting. a great many people really have to stop working.
I know. I'm just being facetious. But James Galbraith, paint for us a worst-case scenario if Social Security is privatized and there is some form of stock market crash. What happens to people's money?
Well, what happens is that the value of your retirement income just goes way down. And this is one of the great injustices. Even if everybody were invested in the same fund so that there was no discretion and you couldn't go and blow your Social Security nest egg by putting it into some group of companies, some tech boom or something like that that went bust, it would still be true that if the overall market went down, and let's say you retired in November and then the market crashes in January and I retire in March, I would get, having worked the same number of hours over the same number of years for the same money as you did with the same basic, you know, formula, I would have a much poorer retirement than you would. And that introduces an element of uncertainty into what people get to live on after a lifetime of hard work, which is simply unacceptable. It's okay to do that when people have extra money, when they have their own retirement funds, but for the basic income that keeps the elderly population out of poverty, which is what Social Security does, it's a totally unacceptable idea.
Well, according to the Bush administration, James, all we really need to worry about is whether or not a nuclear bomb will go off in one of our cities or whether gay people can get married.
Well, I'm certainly worried about the nuclear bomb issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it seems to me an administration which was seriously worried about that would have spent a lot more time working over the Pakistani problem,
yes,
where we know there are nuclear weapons, and a lot less time on Iraq, where we knew that there were not.
Quick question before we go. Really appreciate you being here, by the way. I learned something, as always, talking to you. In Austin, is it what's their baseball team, the Rangers or the Astros?
We have a team called the University of Texas, from which, I have to say, Roger Clements came one day. So we're quite proud of it, but it doesn't play in those leagues.
Okay, so there's no feeling either way. We're trying to figure that out. Some of the guys here, we're trying to figure out which way they lean.
I'm a Red Sox fan, I have to say. So
whoa!
Don't mention any other team to me right now.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this moment. For 52 years.
Thank you for joining us, James.
Take care.
Okay.
Take care.
Wow.
Wow. A Texan who is a Red Sox fan.
But that Social Security thing, we can't let this guy, you know, we can't let this guy back into office.
I just never intend to stop working.
Oh, come on.
I'll be in a walk. As long as I can run my mouth.
I think if I had the cash, dude, I'd stop working tomorrow. I think that's secretly why I've never made enough money to do that. Because if someone gave me $1 million, I'd be like, all right, I'm done for a while.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? We got Rapture Watch coming back. We'll pick up later with Jim, because I know I sort of hijacked, or not hijacked. We had to move up our discussion about the freegans and food. That'll come back later. We're going to bring P.W. McDonald into it, who's liberated from a peanut allergy. That's 47 past the hour. We'll see you in a minute.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right, Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of healthcare.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Best-selling rock music Uber author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays, 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net, or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
The average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
Speaking of superstition, 52 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi!
If you're listening to Morning Sedition, the show on Air America Radio to listen to.
That's right.
Unless you are.
He was very nice to me yesterday, actually.
Was he?
Yeah.
Did he want to borrow some color?
We shared some time in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Shared some time in the bathroom?
Well, that's one of the great communal advantages of working at Air America is everybody, no matter what class level they come from, uses the same bathroom. And he actually took a second from reading at the urinal to say hi to me. And reading at the urinal is no easy trick. Anyways, here we go.
Well, you know, I was going to ask some questions, but we got a bit to do here.
What kind of questions? I was in there brushing my teeth after
our show. What was he reading?
He was reading, he's preparing for a show. What do you mean, what was he?
I
see what you're saying. Was it pictures?
Yeah.
No. And then I ran into him yesterday. He was very nice. He asked me how it's going. And, like, you know, and there, in those moments, I'm like, you know, I make fun of you.
Does he care how it's going?
Are you kidding? He doesn't listen to the show. Here we go. The Bible's book of Revelation portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Great Bend, Kansas. Your Grace.
Take heed, ye gluttonizers of salty victuals and sweetmeats. Listen closely, you fainiant, lucrepitous costermongers. Get a clue, thou unguinous Acidias. Soon you'll all be hanging from the devil's darning needle, and I won't have to refer to this stupid book of archaic expressions anymore. Prepare for the end times, ye imbibers at the teats of Lucifer's goat. For the time for all true believers to be raptured is nigh, while the time for all God-hitting God-haters to be raptured is not nigh, because you ain't going. Ha! Last hebdomad, I told you about the face of Jesus appearing on a tortilla. The week before that, I told you about a man who was run out of his home by vicious rabbits. And the week before that, I should have told you that if you're going to go into the rabbit pelt business as a sideline, don't listen to your stupid brother and store a year's supply of alfalfa pellets in your basement. Man! Now comes this. Those demons at the FDA, or as I like to call it, the Fornicating Deceivers Administration, have just approved the implantation of computer chips in people for medical purposes. The estimated cost for having potentially life-saving medical information instantly available to doctors in times of a crisis? Your soul! That's all. It's the mark of Satan, heathens. Hey, this ain't like the time you tattooed the word think on your arm and had a clove cigarette. Sure, that was pretentious, but this is much worse. For it was prophesied in Revelation number nine. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with his scale model windmills and those little red painted balls rolling towards an oversized clown's head. All right, Maurice, you got to keep better track of the numbers here. The miniature golf revelation is next week. You don't read my memos anymore, do you? Well, there it is. See, implants, then miniature golf. Never mind. The dreaded one world order starts now. The mark of the beast. Yay, the rapture is upon us. Now you might ask, how is it that I can revel in joyous noise at the upcoming rapture and at the same time condemn the very events which bring it about? Well, I'm completely insane. Out of my mind. There are millions more like me, and guess what? We're all going to vote November 2nd. So next time you knock your ball into the water just because it hits the side of the clown's mouth, imagine a million wasps gnawing at your genitals. Because that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Until then, keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you in hell.
Thank you, Cardinal Milfington. I appreciate it. Could you send Jim in on your way out?
Sure, I'll do it right now.
That one hurt.
That one hurt.
Brendan, we're going to talk to you later about peanuts. Jim Earl is back in the studio.
Hi.
What's wrong with that guy?
I don't know. He had a bad upbringing.
So you were kind of getting worked up about the vegan-vegetarian argument, and I don't want to, you know, buzzkill anything, but I mean, what exactly it is that you think you're proving with this vegetarian phase you're going through?
I think, it's moral, ethical, and health. You know, these are three very important reasons to be a vegetarian.
Okay, I'm sold. What do I got to do?
You just got to have live with a girlfriend who's a very good vegetarian cook.
Oh.
That's it.
Okay, so what's her name?
her name is... You ain't gonna... This ain't happened again. Last time I told you my girl's name and number, well... Your cost alone.
All right. All right, Jim. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you later. Good job.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice work.
Whatever. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, yes, baseball again. Political scientist Francis Fox Piven on militarism, G.W. Bush style, you on the telephones, and Lawton Smalls live from Planet Bush, all for you here on Air America Radio.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Mama Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Compromise off, serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. No matter what the Bush administration says about its determination to hold Iraqi presidential elections in January, it appears that no such contest will ever take place unless the United Nations establishes a staff in the Strive to Our Nation and step up efforts to assist the fledgling government in preparing for them. United Nations involvement is crucial to the election process, so says Iraqi Foreign Minister Hashar Zebari. Zebari says only 25 United Nations workers are actually on the ground, assisting in the effort to date. Dramatizing the need for more help, Zebari said some 300 United Nations workers participated in the 1999 referendum in the small island of East Timor. Zebari's comments about the impending election is the first pointed criticism of the lack of UN involvement, this while alluding to what many say the Bush administration's unrealistic belief that elections can be held in Iraq while bombs fall in January. John Kerry continues to chip away at President Bush's overall job approval numbers on a variety of issues, this from the war in Iraq to the nation's health care system. Kerry yesterday pointed to what he believes is a deadly flaw in the president's personality and character.
These are major misjudgments, misjudgments by stubbornness. You know, the president keeps saying how certain he is about things, but you can't just be always certain and frequently wrong.
John Kerry in the campaign trail yesterday. Meanwhile, Theresa Hines Kerry had quickly to put out a fire, apologizing to the First Lady yesterday for suggesting in an interview that Laura Bush never held a real job. First Lady was actually a teacher and a librarian before meeting George W. Bush. Mrs. Kerry personally called Mrs. Bush to formally express her apology. All eyes are watching the latest developments out of Lebanon, where the Syrian government has been taking a greater role in its political scene there. Yesterday, the nation's Prime Minister, Rafik Hariri, in a surprise announcement, said that he would not try to form a next government. He resigned, dissolved his cabinet, and made that announcement. Hariri wants out of the political scene. He has been sparring for years with the pro-Syrian president, Emil Lahoud. Speculation has it that the Prime Minister's move may be a political posturing type at the time when the United Nations has called on Lebanon's neighbor, Syria, to stay out of his politics and military. The resigning Prime Minister is a self-made billionaire. And no question that there's tremendous interest among Americans living abroad who wish to participate in this year's presidential contest. Government offices overseas have been inundated by requests to have absentee ballots sent. Political observers say the surge of interest is like nothing ever witnessed before in many of the countries. This includes Americans living in places like Israel, Spain, England, and Mexico. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, bang, bang on the door.
Of the B52 Shimmies only on Sirius. Every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds with Fred exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, Monday, October 11th. The biggest planet in our solar system is Jupiter. 11 planet Earths could fit side by side in front of it. Jupiter orbits the Sun about 5 times farther away than Earth does. It takes 12 years to complete a single orbit around the Sun.
Earth flies around the Sun once every year, so it's mostly our motion in orbit that determines where we see Jupiter in the night sky. As seen from all across Earth, the planet was up in the west after sunset until about mid-August this year. Then Earth's faster motion in orbit placed the Sun between us and Jupiter, and we couldn't see Jupiter at all for a couple of months.
Now Jupiter is returning to our sky again. Our vantage point on it has shifted, so we see Jupiter now in the east before dawn. It's low in the sky. So you need a very clear eastern horizon to see Jupiter. And don't mistake Jupiter for another bright planet up before the sun. The planet that's very bright and relatively high in the east before sunup is Venus.
Jupiter will be near the waning crescent moon tomorrow morning. If you can't see the pair shortly before sunup, try scanning in the east with binoculars. In the coming weeks, Jupiter will be getting higher in the east before dawn. It'll be near Venus by the end of this month.
Special thanks today to Research Corporation, a foundation for the advancement of science. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good God, it's Thursday. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, Red Sox fans, Yankee fans, sorry. What are you going to do?
Of course, I want to say hi to all those progressives and liberals that baseball means nothing to because there are more serious things to be dealing with right now.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. It's a ball and a mitt. Who cares? We're all going to die. Who cares about this? A mitt, a ball, and a bat. This is crazy. I'm tired.
I want to thank all the bloggers and all the people that mailed in this the insistence that I drink ginger and lemon tea, and now like they're posting like, you know, I guess he didn't listen to me because he still sounds bad. I have a cold. It doesn't magically go away just because you insist it or you drink this stuff.
Buddy now weighs 98 pounds.
I wish. I have an inner girl that has an eating disorder. Her name's Jill, and she's not happy. All right, Riley.
Okay, is that what the apple and is that a gigantic lemon or an oddly shaped orange?
I've been drinking the tea and I actually feel better today, but some people are saying I don't sound better.
Fine. Don't worry about what they say.
No, they're mean. I want to thank you for all the advice. I have been drinking the tea and I think by tomorrow it should all be going away. In the studio today, there's two reasons to celebrate. Brendan P.W. McDonald's in the studio, and you are, who's your team?
Oh, in baseball?
Yeah.
Well, the Mets, so I didn't really give a good goddamn about what happened last night. But, you know, it's interesting, yeah. Mark, we got a blog from somebody, and forgive me, blogger, for not remembering who you are, but they said, interesting to point out, the team from the city that hosted the Democratic National Convention beat the team from the city that hosted the Republican National Convention last night. An omen, maybe, or just something completely coincidental, you be the judge.
Yeah. I wish I had the one. Is there a music I can use for that?
Yeah. Do you have Take Me Out to the Ball Game in there, too?
No. I wish, you know, and I was on the Yankees. I was on the Yankees. We were sponsored by Rainbow Bread. It was Thunderbird Little League in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Picture a fat little Mark Maron out in center field waiting for something to happen but hoping nothing does. Because I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those people that's like, man, I want to get in the game. Here we go. When people are like, we're going to win. All I'm thinking is like, I hope they don't hit it to me. You know, because I...
And then Porky Marky McShane is at the plate. He's 6 feet tall at the age of 12. He weighs 250 pounds and takes the first pitch and hits it straight at you.
Exactly. Am I in Riley Town or Marinhead? Man, I think you just said, you had a memory from your life, and now it's part of mine.
You, McShane.
Dude, I used to stand at that plate, man. These guys would whip that ball. I was so afraid I was going to take it in the head that I would literally close my eyes when I swung. You know, and the one time I hit it, I was so surprised that it came off of my bat. It took me like 2 seconds to go, oh, my God, I'm running now. Look at fat me running.
Anyway. Were you safe or out?
You don't remember.
I think I got on base once. It was
really?
Sad. It was sad. The only thing, you know, that was good was that before the game, whether you won or lost, you got a little ticket that you could take to the concession stand and get a free snow cone. That was the big payoff.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Not even a hot dog, man?
Sorry. With my mother? Are you kidding? What'd you eat? I ate a hot dog. Oh, my God. What's wrong with you? You're fat. How could you wear... I just bought you new Husky pants. You keep eating the hot dogs. And Mark, I'm sorry, but you don't... My mother... I'm digressing. We're going to get right around to where you are. What?
Well, Wayne? I want to ask Wayne Gilman,
right,
because he's been on this scene for so long. Wayne...
Good morning.
Hey, Wayne.
I'm back here in the booth.
Yeah, well, we're
relegated to
the back
problems.
Room, you know. Wayne, this is
I'll
like
call
a...
Sharpton.
I get him on the phone.
Miss Shelley.
Shelley Sharpton?
Yes, her.
Okay. Well, Wayne, this is an interesting, being a World Series in an election year and with the possibility that we have maybe it might be Texas versus New England in both the election and the World Series. Has anything like that ever happened before?
Well, I tell you, I know I look old, but
yes, you do.
Well, in recent memory, I'd say in the last 30 years since I've been doing this, I can't remember anything like that. But I'm with you, Brendan. I really think last night was an omen in many instances. I believe that there will be a Texas, Massachusetts matchup in the World Series as well as what's taking place in the
Okay, so who wins, oh great Swami?
Good morning. I'm.
You are?
Yes, I am, and you're not.
Ah, thank you.
Look at Pashman in the booth. How come I'm not in there? Why is everyone in there? I'm not in there.
Yeah.
I'm Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman.
Bring him in. Here he comes.
There's a cult
Lock
of me in China.
Here he comes.
Hey, buddy, how's it going? Stop crying. Were you listening to Pet Sounds?
No, I cry after I listen to Pet Sounds.
Uh-oh.
Wayne's telling a story.
Come on, Wayne.
No, the epilogue here is that I believe Massachusetts will win, and I think Kerry. I hope Kerry will.
Whoa.
Right,
How about we know?
Well, I'm trying to be objective here.
Oh, that's,
I mean,
right.
That's my role. I'm a new.
You're the news guy.
But so, New Yorker, I guess the moral is New Yorkers, like Dan Pashman, who's wearing a Yankees shirt and hat right now, should have a good...
That's just because he hasn't been home to change.
There's a reason.
Right. Blue.
There's a reason now to get behind the Red Sox, Dan. There's a kind of, you have a kind of karmic interest in this.
No.
That's right.
I mean, Yankee fans wouldn't get behind the Red Sox if Paul Revere threatened to ride down Broadway naked.
But, Mark, okay, we're fighting for our lives here.
Once again, I need to go put on a dress. I'll be back in a second. What were you saying, Dan?
No, I'm extremely torn. You know, I don't agree with Brendan. I mean, my baseball fandom tells me I must root for the Astros. My political beliefs tell me to root for the Red Sox. But I don't believe in karma at all, which means I should probably root for the Astros.
What would Brian Wilson do?
He'd probably put on a fire hat.
Yeah. He would just root.
Fire truck.
Oh, Lord.
Let's celebrate Brendan's newfound freedom from his peanut allergy now. So you're going to go to the ball game, and you're going to be able to proudly say,
yeah,
oh, some peanuts.
I never realized. Every day I'm figuring out new things that I can eat.
How long have you not been able to eat peanuts?
All my life.
Oh, wow. No, wait, Snicker bars for you in Halloween.
No, just now. Today was the first Snicker. That Snickers you saw me eating?
Yeah.
That was the first Snickers I ever had in my life.
Great, right?
As I was saying to you, I had a problem with it.
Oh, really?
Because the first thing I ate was a jar of honey roasted peanuts.
Yeah.
And I freaked out. It was so good. And then I got that Snickers bar today, and the nuts were not, like, it tasted like something was mealy about them.
They're a little off, the nuts in the soup.
I was anticipating something great, and the same thing happened with the Reese's peanut butter cup.
But Reese, you'll start to appreciate that just because it says peanut doesn't mean that has any
right.
relation
well, like,
to
the
peanut.
Chunky peanut butter, like, that blew my mind.
Oh. Did you get the feeling that you were cheating death at some point?
Dude, I put my whole fist in it. No, and I came in before, and you guys were running out of time. You had to go back to the show, and I wanted to know, like, what kind of good peanut type things I should eat. I have so many options.
You gotta get some of those things they roast on the street, because those
are
good.
No. Don't get those. They roast that stuff in bacon fat, man. Can't you smell it?
Now I really want it.
we'll work out some stuff after this. It's 14 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Planet Check. Props to Hotel Triton for the Green Lodging Certification Award. General Manager Michael Pace explained.
Not only was the Hotel Triton the first hotel to be nominated in the state, but we were actually used as a model for all hotels in the state of California.
This is a state program to encourage hotels to become greener.
It doesn't cost more to become eco-friendly. You actually save in the long run.
The Triton saves on garbage fees by recycling 60 to 70% of their waste. Pace says it's easy being green.
PG&E helped us retrofit the whole hotel here in San Francisco. We spent $12,000 changing all our bulbs out and got $11,000 back in rebates. So clearly there is the support out there.
Stay a while online at
www.hoteltriton.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Steve and the Chiefs at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Rocks, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank Lefebvre, Traffic, Savage, Adam Pryor, Randy Rosen, and NPR, this comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock of the radio.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
On Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
Hi, this is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go.
Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
I'm Garcelle Beauvais Nylon. When I played a DA on NYPD Blue, I got all the facts before trying a case. Yet many don't know the facts about epilepsy. There are 2.5 million Americans with the condition, and 1 in 10 Americans will have a seizure in their lifetime. People with epilepsy want to lead normal lives, but too many of us don't know what epilepsy is or what to do if someone has a seizure. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000.
It's 19 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Hi.
You are listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I have now the presidential palm pilot, which is brought to us by Ramon, along with a bag of peanuts for Brendan P. W. McDonald. Here's the president's schedule for today. 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. John Kerry doesn't understand the war on terror. He's never had a catastrophe happen on his watch like some people. 9:05 a.m. Sign Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act, Roosevelt Room, White House. Note, ask Rove if signing this suicide prevention bill makes me look soft on terror. 9:45 a.m. Sign second part of Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act. Note, try to lighten mood with this joke. How did the Pollock try to commit suicide? By jumping out of the basement. Wait for laugh. 1:45 p.m. Speak at rally on medical liability reform. United Sports Training Center, Downington, Pennsylvania. Note, tell them I've choked on bar pretzels hundreds of times, but you don't see me suing Mr. Salty. Note, if I lose this election, sue Mr. Salty. 4:25 p.m. Speak at rally, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Note, tell them Al-Qaeda is like an M&M. They have a hard candy shell, but are soft on the inside. 6:35 p.m. back in Washington. Call Chinese embassy. Make deal. In exchange for Bin Laden, we'll let the Chinese illegally copy all of American pop culture. That'll show those Hollywood liberals. 8 p.m. in response to overwhelming opposition from young voters, proposed bill outlawing the word draft. Phrases that would be banned: I feel a draft, I'll have a draft beer, I've written a first draft, this boat has a shallow draft. 10 p.m. bedtime, think happy thought. Even if I lose, I could still live off Laura. I mean, teachers make a couple hundred grand a year, don't they?
We got a teacher in the room.
Oh, thank God. Thank God we can now resume the intelligent part of our show.
Regularly scheduled programming. Yeah.
Our guest is distinguished professor of political science at CUNY Graduate Center. She is the author of The War at Home, The Domestic Cost of Bush's Militarism. Frances Fox Piven is with us. Good morning.
I'm really glad to be here to talk to you. I have some fun, I hope.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here because we need to learn things. You know, we try not to freak
we're
out.
We're a little slow. I'm a college dropout myself.
Well, we try not to freak out and panic, but we're liberals and we get panicked.
Well, there's lots of panic about it.
There absolutely is. Let's start with the election process. I mean, how bad is it?
I think it's very bad.
Yes.
The only good thing about the election process is that this is the first time that I know of, going back as far as I've read about, never mind how long I've lived, the first time that Americans have been paying attention to the way in which the tricks, the cheating, changes the electoral outcome.
This is stuff that's been going on for years, I have to assume. But, you know, on both sides, I'm imagining that the elections have always been somewhat questionable. But now I'm glad that everyone's aware. And
everybody knows about it now.
Yeah. Should we have UN monitors here in this country?
Oh, it would have been great if we had UN monitors. It would have been great if the Carter Center had agreed to monitor the American election.
Exactly.
That would have made sense. But maybe in years to come, they will have some foreign monitors to keep us honest. Well,
not under this administration. They don't like it.
I imagine Bush's supporters would riot at the thought of anyone from outside the United States even so much as looking at this election. I mean, there is this whole notion that Bush promotes a kind of us against them thing. You see it most visibly in his conversations about the UN. Is that something that's purposeful on his part?
Well, I think so. I think it's part of his sort of messianic appeal. He He speaks to Americans as if he's God's messenger.
Yeah.
He says that this, he calls a military operation, Operation Infinite Justice.
Yeah.
He speaks in the choruses of Protestant hymns as though he is, he's, you know, speaking Jesus' words.
Right.
This is really something to worry about. But the cheating, you know, everybody says, well, a lot of people say he really does believe. He is a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Christian fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that doesn't explain the tricks. That doesn't explain all of the dirty shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And is he oblivious to that? Is it just the other people in the CLAC who are doing it? I doubt it very much.
And now also not only using religion, you know, politicizing religion, but he's also politicizing this war in a way that is having a very definite effect on people of our ilk, but also on other types. How is the war affecting, you know, his domestic approach, you know, to, you know, running for president? And why are there so many people that, you know, that follow the lies?
Well, you know, war affects people very, very strongly in a very mysterious way. Makes them very excited.
Mm-hmm.
There's something mythic about going to war against mysterious foreign enemies,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they're halfway around the world and a slightly different color. And war also excites people's fear. You know, there's something very exciting, in fact, about fear, and it makes people cling to symbols of unity like the flag,
right.
The president, the commander-in-chief. You can use those emotions.
Sure.
And I think the Bush administration has, from 9/11,
mm-hmm.
determined that their political strategy, after all, he was doing very badly after the 2000 election, he was sinking in the polls, the way to recover, you know, moments hesitation while he read from the book My Pet Goat in the classroom. But once he recovered, the idea was to push the war on terror and push his standing as the commander-in-chief to excite fear, to excite the sense that we are on a crusade, a very ugly word for a lot of people in the world.
I think that he could probably read The Pet Goat to his followers now, and they'd be thrilled. They seem to be, you know, just, you know, completely infantile. I mean, when you watch it, don't you feel outraged when you hear his followers going, yay, boo, flip, flop, flip. They're like children.
Well, you know, that's part of what people like in a political campaign, that you can behave like children.
Really?
And you can speak in chorus, and you shout slogans. So that doesn't bother me as much as what they have been induced to believe. They've been induced to believe that they really are in danger, that Bush and his people are their saviors, that he will protect them. And, you know, transfixed by these beliefs, they're not paying attention to the way the Bush crowd is stealing from them by pushing all the tax burden onto working people, by endangering Social Security, by slashing social programs. I mean, this is all by deregulating the environment. The planet may not be there if the Bush administration stays in power much mm-hmm. longer.
So, I mean, is he just using the war as a smokescreen to advance this agenda? How does the war help his overall agenda, which is obviously a conservative domestic one?
Well, first, the war keeps him in power, and he may win this election. And he's trying to win it, talking war, Iraq, war, terror. Second, he has used the war to cloud the issues. When he pushed through his tax cuts, his henchmen in the Congress said nothing is more important in a time of war than cutting taxes. A completely idiotic statement, but it does create enough confusion to push the tax cuts through.
We got to take a break. We're going to come back with you. We're with Francis Fox Piven. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to take some calls, right, Riley?
We're going to take some calls. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We've got Planet Bush and the liberal agenda when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Just because. Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, a $75 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call toll-free 1-800-516-6808. That's 1-800-516-6808. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, it's 1-800-516-6808.
Best-selling rock music Uber author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is Earth and Sky. On this day 5 years ago, the United Nations declared that 6 billion humans inhabit the Earth.
It's also estimated that 1 in 5 people worldwide lack access to safe drinking water. We spoke with famed Stanford ecologist Paul Ehrlich about water and the growing population.
The problem is that not only are we pumping out groundwater at unsustainable rates, we're also polluting water. For example, when I first started to do field research in the Rocky Mountains, you could drink the water almost anywhere fresh out of a stream. Now you'll get giardia if you do that, because there are so many people and so many animals brought in by people that diseases are spreading. One of the things that few people understand is that the epidemiological environment, that is, our susceptibility as a species to diseases, is running downhill very rapidly as our population gets larger. It's in part because the more people we have, the more likely it is that new diseases will jump into our population from animal populations, particularly in Africa. And it's in part due to our rapid transport system, so that sick people can spread disease rapidly around the world, as, for example, SARS indicated.
More from Paul Ehrlich on our next Earth and Sky.
Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
There is no scientific evidence that use of one drug necessarily causes use of any other drug. Relieved? Well, here's a reality check. Among adolescents who use illicit drugs, such as cocaine and heroin, almost every one of them used marijuana first. Makes you think, doesn't it? Help our kids understand. For more information, call 1-800-729-6686.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
34 past the hour. It's Mark Maron. I'm here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley.
Where?
You're right there, man. You're in you.
Oh.
Yeah. Our guest is Frances Fox Piven. Her book is The War at Home, The Domestic Cost of Bush's Militarism. She is the a professor at the Political Science at CUNY Graduate Center. And we're talking on the break a little bit about the possibility of a surprise, the October surprise. And we were saying, you know, can Bush win? And everything is sort of like up in the air, but you obviously don't put it past them to do something, you know, sneaky.
Well, other candidates have done sneaky things before. Nixon did something pretty sneaky, too. But the big, and so did Reagan.
Yeah.
In the 1980 election. I guess the big thing in everybody's mind is the possibility that either the Pakistanis or now the rumor is the Chinese actually have Osama bin Laden and they're just waiting until shortly before the election to produce him in order to create a big jump for Bush.
I've always said if he shows up dead, check him for freezer burn because the timing is suspect.
Yeah, well, that's true. And, of course, then they'll do the terror alerts stuff. There'll be warnings all over the
country. Some people, like myself included, that it's a very fascinating thing that you can have Americans, you know, who are progressive Americans, you know, Democrats, liberals, people who are intelligent, that are actually, in some senses, more frightened of their own administration in terms of what they'll allow to happen. You know, how devious are they? What are they willing to lose? I mean, do you ever get frightened of the fact that they might let a terror attack happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility.
Because it is global power they're fighting for.
And they'll fight like hell if they think they're really at risk of losing it.
It's really horrendous, yeah.
What do you think of Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, going out on the stump for G.W. Bush? There have been other former NSAs. I saw Zbigniew Brzezinski on TV, I guess earlier this morning or last night, saying that this is kind of unprecedented. It's not a particularly seemly thing to do.
Oh, I suppose it isn't seemly, but, you know, whether or not they're seemly doesn't seem to me to be the big question. The big question has to do with the recklessness with which they're governing this country and destabilizing the world and killing a lot of people in the process. Those are the big questions.
But, I mean, Rice looks like an intelligent woman. Colin Powell looks like an intelligent person. These are not all stupid people. Are they all that power hungry that they would go out and shill for an administration that has time and again brought them up short?
Well, yeah, I think they are.
Okay.
The answer is yeah.
Let's take a call. Mark in Long Island. How are you, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys.
What's on your mind, dude?
Listen, great show. Just replaced 880 with 1190.
Oh, thank you, man.
All right. But I just want to say to Frances, how could you possibly say that you don't think it's beneath a human being to go ahead and allow a terrorist attack? I think that puts you on such a kook fringe that everything else that you said that seems to make sense is now completely invalid to me. You can't be on. You can't honestly believe that.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Professor?
Well, you know, you can call me names, but I think that we have to at least contemplate the possibility. I think that just wonder for a moment, why did we go to war in Iraq? They had reasons. Every one of their reasons has now been exposed as invalid. They didn't have weapons of mass destruction. They didn't have ties to Al-Qaeda. The possibility that we were going to, through this invasion, establish a beacon of democracy in the Middle East was far-fetched at best. All of these reasons have disappeared.
They did it to consolidate.
So why did they go to war? Well, some people say they went to war to plunder the Iraqis. Even that turns out not to be too sensible because we're not getting any wealth from the Iraqis. If anything, we're giving them a little bit of our wealth in order to maintain military dominance there. Maybe they went to war to maintain their power in the United States, to shore up their power in the United States.
Interesting. See, I take issue with the caller because it's not without precedent that people in power, even the United States administration, put a plan into place, you know, in order to create a war-like
situation to provoke a war with Cuba. Isn't that true? The Northwoods, Operation Northwoods, that there was a plan in place that if Cuba was...
Yes, there was.
And also in the Spanish-American War, didn't we blow up a ship in order and blame it on someone else?
The Maine, yeah.
In order to do it. So it's not without precedent historically for the U.S. to take these kind of, to make these kind of plans to consolidate power and stay in power, you know, despite what the people might want.
And to consolidate power, not only international power,
mm-hmm.
but to consolidate power within the United States. And I think it's important to pay attention to that because, you know, Americans are like other human animals. They're much readier to see other people harmed, dominated, plundered than they are themselves. But mm-hmm. when we realize that a lot of the plundering is going on at our expense, I think maybe we'll sit up straight and pay attention.
Oh, absolutely. I think this call might shed some light on the type of person that will allow that to happen. Janice in Long Island. How are you, Janice?
Hi, Janice.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. What's up?
I just wanted to share that I used to be a born-again Christian, and this summer I spent a great deal of time with family in Montana and Wyoming. I also have family in Alabama that are all born-again Christians. And we had we were able to have some political discussions that were not, you know, crazy. And it was very enlightening because these are people that really, in fact, an aunt sent an email of a person, a friend, who had been to the Oval Office to receive an award. And he mentioned to the president at the end of the ceremony, my mother-in-law is very ill, would you keep her in prayer? The president sent every one of his staff people out of the office and sat with this man in prayer for 15, 20 minutes for his mother. Both of them were crying. And he just sent a picture and an email to people he knew about this is the real thing, this is God's man and what in the White House. And they're emailing this. And they sent one to me because she's trying to show me that he is indeed God's man in the White House. And I emailed her back, and I said, I'm glad that the president prays, because that's important to me, too. But he doesn't see, and if you read the Seth Godin book about the price of loyalty,
sure.
You see the way he's not, he doesn't hear policy. He doesn't hear any information. If all these dirty tricks and the horrible things they're doing, I'm sure he thinks it's not true.
Well, he's probably too busy praying.
All the Dems are lying. And he just really, really believes that God has called him and all the born-again Christians in this country, I won't say all of them, I'm sure there's some that don't, but all the people I know do believe that God has called George Bush to bring America and the world to righteousness.
But don't they also believe in the rapture and that the world will end in the Middle East?
Absolutely.
Terrific.
Their belief is that all these things have to happen,
in order
and then Christ will return. And they will feel really, really sad for all of us that are going to hell.
Okay, thanks, Janet.
Wow, the pres evangelist.
So that's the frightening base.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't really think we can ponder the question of whether George Bush is a true believer or whether he's using this Christian doctrine to attract Christian fundamentalists who are a very powerful bloc. Maybe he's a true believer. I'm willing to accept that.
Does it make you feel any more comfortable?
But it makes me feel much more, just as anxious.
Yeah.
Whether people are being deliberately manipulated by this guy or whether he is being used by others in his group because of his Christian piety and so forth. Point is that this is a distortion of democratic politics.
Right.
If people think that their leader mm-hmm. is God's emissary, how can they make evaluations about what he does, about his program, about his actions?
Right. The cult members can't make those
kinds.
That's
right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Francis Fox Piven. The book is The War at Home, The Domestic Costs of Bush's Militarism. Thank you. It's very educational. I appreciate you coming.
Glad to come. Yeah. Fun to talk to you.
Okay, we'll be back. It's 43 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, professional wrestler and best-selling author, and you're listening to the two guys who give the right wing the smackdown. It's Mark Maron and Mark Riley with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hi. Do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826, or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
Well, Mr. Quinn, I have your loan application here. I see you want to finance one of our big screen TVs.
Oh, yeah, I love that TV.
Of course you do. The thing is, your credit report has a few hiccups or bumps.
Well, bumps, yes.
What we call red flags or warnings.
You see, I think...
Actually, you have huge gaping chasms of incredibly bad decision-making.
Okay, I can explain.
I mean monumental credit mistakes. I mean, phenomenally ridiculous. Laughable, really. I mean, oh, Mr. Quinn... I gotta frame this one.
Before you go for a loan, be prepared with ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step to getting the things you want. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Get the power. ScorePower at Equifax.com.
There's this type of breakdown.
Great, George. Now what do we do?
Which can lead to this kind of breakdown. And then there's serious Monday Night Breakdown. Leading into the big game, Mike and Larry get you pumped up and primed with a complete analysis and highlights for the night's game. The Monday Night Breakdown, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe. Just maybe it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day... It was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
past the hour. Let's bring this thing down. That caller pissed me off, man.
Which one?
Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron.
Which one?
The guy who was just, you know, he just...
Oh, the one who said...
How can you not question the integrity of the office of president after Watergate, after, you know, all those different incidents where, you know, it's been, like, history has said, you know, even FDR might have known about Pearl Harbor. They put these plans in, the Northwood plan. They bombed a boat during to provoke the Spanish-American War. It's just like they refuse to shatter the denial. And speaking of that, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters now know what's happening in his alternative universe. Luckily, we have someone in that world, and once again joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning, and God bless you, Mark.
Yes,
you know,
thank
I prayed
you.
For you last night.
Really?
No.
Oh.
What would be the point? You're a heathen.
Hey. I thought it was you pray for everybody. So we're gonna...
Not for you.
Oh, my God. That's it. See, today we're going to discuss the issue. Let's talk about security in America.
Oh, that's
okay?
A good topic, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because thanks to President Bush, our nation's never been as secure as it is today.
Wait,
never.
Really? Then how come every time Bush and Cheney open their mouths, they talk about terrorists are going to nuke us, and that if we don't vote for them, they're going to nuke us?
Yeah, Mark, even if the terrorists vaporized our beloved homeland, we'd still be safer and more secure than ever thanks to our God-appointed president, George W. Bush. Secure and safe.
How does that even make sense?
And secure.
How does it make sense? You don't make any sense. Do you know what the word Orwellian means? Does that mean anything to you?
Well, of course not, Mark. You and your made-up words, your funny language. Now, look, I'll try to explain it to you. We are moments away from a catastrophic terrorist attack.
No.
Every day, every minute of every day, right now. And why? Why? Because of how safe and secure we are under the Bush-Cheney administration. Now, what don't you understand about that? It's clear as day.
No, what don't I understand? How about everything? Listen, do you seriously think that John Kerry would be...
Do not talk to me about John Kerry. How can we put our trust to protect our babies, born and unborn, in a coward like John Kerry? Only military heroes proven in combat like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney have what it takes to lead this nation in these dangerous times.
Dude, what are you talking about?
So
I mean, what are you talking about? I don't even understand.
I'm talking about the fact that John Kerry is a draft dodger.
Dude, John Kerry is a decorated soldier who saw combat in Vietnam and served two tours.
That's right. He volunteered to go all the way over to Vietnam just so he could avoid being drafted.
Oh, my God.
I can't think of a more cowardly act. Oh, it's so dangerous.
I can't. That's crazy. And you think it's heroic that Bush avoided his National Guard?
Dangerous.
Would you stop that? He avoided his National Guard service. And he spent the whole war in Alabama. That's your guy.
Alabama. Let me ask you this, Mark. Can you name me a single instance of the Viet Cong invading Alabama while Bush was on duty there? Hmm?
Okay.
Come on now.
All right. You got me on that one. And you've certainly proved
facts
your point.
Facts are important, all right? The president understands the importance of facts.
Yeah.
His clarity and leadership makes us safe and secure, and you can't argue with that. Safe and secure.
Wait a minute. You contradict yourself so much. You must be so miserable. I mean, what is it like to be in there? What is it like to be in your little head? You know, you're just narrow-minded and completely lying.
Safe and secure.
What is it like to be in there, man? Lawton. Lawton. Lawton, is there something you want to say to me, mister?
Not safe. Not safe at all. It's all slogans and all substances and no one's buying it anymore. The terrorist might as well come out of my head and poop in my bed.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Not safe.
See what's on the inside? It's all gooey in there, isn't it?
Safe.
See
not
what you safe. Are on the inside? I'm sorry. You
not
okay,
safe.
Buddy? Are you okay?
I'm better than that. I'm safe and secure for four
years. No. Thank you very
safe
much,
Lawton.
Thank you. Always nice to talk to someone from Planet Bush. Oh, man.
My goodness.
Yeah, they're all gooey on the inside. You see that? Soft on the inside. Look at this. This guy, I'm sorry, I got off mic for a second. Yeah, excuse me, I noticed that. Of course, we are keeping up with the endorsements. So many endorsements for Kerry, so few for George Bush, as far as newspapers and magazines. But the newest one is
The endorsements, they come in every day. And here's the publication you're probably familiar with from your last airline flight. SkyMall Magazine has come out in favor for John Kerry. Here's the reason. We here at SkyMall Magazine believe that any candidate who advocates new and experimental energy sources would feel right at home using the Swedish Tempur-Pedic mattress system with its new viscoelastic memory cells. And we must endorse a man who would spend his leisure time with a 3-in-1 rotating game table. And we can't help but support someone who would buy our relaxing desktop waterfall, the soothing sounds of falling water in our hand-carved slate fountain mask, the distracting sounds of a loud work environment or busy household. This kind of innovative thinking is why we're endorsing John Kerry, who will clean up government even better than our Roomba Discovery ST robotic floor vacuum, which makes quick work of minor cleanups and daily floor maintenance. And in the real endorsement world, it's pretty mind-bending that most of the smart papers endorse Kerry, like the New York Times, the Boston Globe, San Francisco Chronicle, millions more. And also, dig this. This got thrown at me by Dan Pashman, son of Liz and Linda Pashman, who would be proud that their son is doing such research. Porn for Progress presents Porn, Porn for Kerry. Come on in, Kent. You want to come in and hang out? Come on in and hang out. Kent Jones is going to come in the room. What is the website on here? I can't say I recommend this. Okay.
Good.
But there's a bunch of porn actors who are now, taking porn names, most of which I can't say.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, you can try.
You want to, though, don't you?
No.
You can try.
Well, we've got Rubs Ridge.
Ooh.
He's the Homeland Security czar. And they also have Al Frankenbeans.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who actually has sex with the Ann Coulter. Who I can't say that one. But, I'm not advocating this, but it's out there. It's out there in the world, and thank God the porn community is coming out for Kerry.
And thank God my daughter's already left for school.
Why didn't you even say anything bad?
I know, but the porn part, she's curious, all right? She's 7 and a half, she wants to know, what is that? What did he talk about, that porn stuff? What is that?
But who's Al Franken being?
Yeah, right?
I thought it was Al Franken.
Yeah.
But your wife already laid down the stuff with her, right?
What?
They told her how everything worked. Is that true?
More or less.
Okay.
She left out some important details, like pornography.
I think my mother and father just left it to the streets. How about you? Did you get sat down and...
They actually took me to Porn for Kerry. That's how I learned all of it. Right.
You just recently learned.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good age to learn about the facts of life.
Yeah, so. You turn 40, learn these things.
Time to wake up and learn how to use that thing.
It's a whole new world. I'm telling you, a whole new world.
So, Ken, what's going on, man? Are you looking forward to any movies? You got movies coming out this weekend you want to see?
I want to see the Ray Charles movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Let's try and get a press screening. Did it open?
Long-time Ray fan. Tomorrow, I believe.
Is it press screening?
No, I think it opens tomorrow.
Oh, I like seeing
You know what scares me about that movie? I'm always nervous about people who kind of end up, really living the character. I mean, Jamie Foxx spent a lot of time with Ray Charles before he passed away in the making of the movie.
Are you saying you're worried that Jamie might not be able to see for the rest of his career?
That's it, right?
There are limits to method acting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
He got too into it, man.
Right. You can't see anymore. Oh, my God.
His piano playing has markedly improved.
We'll both go see it. We'll both go see it, and we'll talk about it sometime next week.
And we will do that.
Are you into it?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get ready, folks. Here they come, and they're good. One, tell Boston fans that the hard part is winning the peace. Yes. Two, tell Yankees they could have won if they had bothered to assemble a true international coalition. Three, condemn Osama bin Laden while praising China's new relaxed immigration policy. Yes. Four, condemn the Wall Street Journal for not endorsing Kerry and for not having a comics page. And five, today's phrase is dropping into conversation. Theresa Heinz Kerry was wrong. Laura Bush has had a real job for 27 years, man. Monkey handler, man. Monkey handler. What's going on tomorrow, Riley? Help me out.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, the chairwoman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights about the threats against your right to vote and making sure your vote gets counted. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Great one, Marin.
You too, Riley. See you, Ken.
Right on.